Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Sometimes the safest place is the most dangerous. You're tuned in to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
It's going to be another interesting year for Lori Vallow Daybell. Of course, we've saw other interesting years of her. Her last trial, being found guilty of murder of her two children. This time, it is looking at Charles Vallow, her fourth husband, if she had anything to do with that, which, and attempting to murder her niece's ex-husband, Brandon Boudreau, you know, like you do. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. And I have your book because you sent it to me. So I have everybody's book right here. So The Mind of Mass Killers. We always hear Siobhan is an author. I know you've mentioned it on the air, you know, many a times, but now I have it. So go check it out. Go download.
Yeah, bedtime reading for you. It's just to calm down and relax. Yeah, exactly. Happy thoughts.
You know, as we go into the 2025 with Lori Vallow and her now going to be her own representative, her own attorney. I know we've talked about that a little bit, but your thoughts on all of this? How did we get here where Lori is going to be her own attorney from barely being, you know, feel like competent to stand trial, all the madness and crazy. It feels like if there's a crazy road to go down here, we're still going down it. And it just doesn't seem to ever be an end. Anything Lori can control, she's going down the wrong path.
Yeah. And anytime Lori can have this sense of, I'm so special, look at me. Mm-hmm. That's going to be her choice. And it just seems like, as far as having an effective trial and something that, you know, flows the way trials are supposed to, it's a really bad idea because Lori is essentially psychotic.
Would Lori be considered a mass killer? We have the kids, we have her ex-wife, we have Tammy Daybell. I'm trying to think if there's others that she suspects. Obviously, there's the one where Brandon Boudreau, which wasn't successful. But what's the classification there?
You know, this is a really hard one to classify. And I think that's what makes it so unusual and why we talk about it so much, because it's so weird. And usually when we think of a mass killer, it's the person who goes out and tries to kill as many people as they can. Generally, they're strangers. And it's a different motivation. It's a look at me, but in a different way. And it happens one time, one place, and, you know, as many people as they can, strangers. Or in the case of school shootings, they know the people, but they may not be targeting anyone specifically most of the time. She clearly had an agenda, you know, whether she thinks it came from heaven or Jesus or what, you know, the bizarre beliefs and the psychosis. So it really, I don't even know. I mean, it doesn't quite fit serial killer. Serial killer might be closer than mass killer, but it's. I think we need a new category for this. Religiously motivated, delusional, you know, think she's on a mission. It's weird.
What's also interesting about this that's different than the other cases that we talk about is we don't know for sure, but my conjecture is that I don't believe she was ever directly involved with the actual act of murder. She's more like the mob boss that's telling her minions, you know, because we kind of suspect that maybe Alex Cox had something to do with some of these murders. We don't know. He's dead. You know, she was ordering the hits on these things. She wasn't actually taking them out. Is that one of the factors that helps insulate Lori Vallow into believing that she's not a killer, that she didn't kill these kids, that because somehow her telling her people that this is what should happen and then it happens, that that she's able to go, well, I didn't kill them. That's
exactly, exactly. And this delusional sense that this was this holy mission, you know, mm-hmm. to take out zombies and send them off to a place where they're actually living and very happy now and are, you know, basically validating yeah. her behavior. Yeah, she was able to put distance from the violence that actually took place, the horror that took place. Mm-hmm. And it's the intricacies of this lady's mind. It's hard to put ourselves in her head because there's so much crazy that's going on up there.
It almost kind of reminds me of just AI a little bit, where it's like, we don't know what's going to happen to it. Like when you, if you play with it ever and you're typing something in, we're working on another project here that's a satirical comedy show. And sometimes I'll just say to it, you know, give me 10 ideas of ways that this character could go. And the things it comes up with are just insane. But but they're invented at that moment in time. I guess that's my point. These didn't exist elsewhere. It feels like Lori Vallow, when she's generating these ideas, it doesn't necessarily even have to somehow conform to the past story or make any sense in congruence with the past. It's just, here's what she's going to do now. Just like how yeah. recently she told her son that she believes that her daughter killed her son and then killed herself in regret. She's claiming that Tylee did it now. And she killed JJ and then she walked in and they were both dead. I mean, just the way that she's able to contort these things around, but still somehow thinking, okay, they're dead, and you walked out of the room and then nothing else happened. There's no funeral. There's no let's call the police. Mm-hmm. There's no nothing. It's mm-hmm. just they end up buried in the backyard, and then she justifies it to her son by going, you know, she always wanted to be cremated. It's like, you couldn't make this up.
No, you really couldn't. And I think when you look at what's different about Lori from your average murderer, it's the non-rational nature of it. It's the bizarre, as you say, the story changes and shifts and morphs, and all of it is wacky and doesn't add up and doesn't make any sense. And I think that's the tip that, okay, this lady, you know, we can say is legitimately crazy.
Is it her religiosity that enables that, where the religious fervor that she has is so, so deeply ingrained in her? And with all of that, that requires suspension of reality. That requires suspension of reason. That requires someone to have to say, okay, I mean, that's what faith is. I mean, in terms of religious faith, it's just believing something and assuming it's true, but I'm never going to, there's no way I can verify these facts in any way, shape, or form. If this is how her manual to life is, and then you mirror that with her own life and how it's playing along, does that enable that type of thinking? Because if over here, the most important thing to me, it goes from A to Q and all over the place and nothing really truly necessarily adds up, well, then if my life over here can be just as chaotic, because that's normal, that is normal mm-hmm. to her, that chaos mm-hmm. can exist, and this faith or this idea of whatever she says is true based on religion, that almost kind of explains the logic in a certain way.
Yeah, and it's so interesting. I think you could probably put people with what would we say, vigorous religious faith on a continuum, mm-hmm. you know, from people who maybe believe in the power of prayer to influence things, but they still go to the doctor or they take their kid to the doctor when they're sick. Mm-hmm. And then you move along the continuum with people who, well, we're not going to even yeah. take medication or get vaccines or do any of these things because we believe God will heal us. Mm-hmm. And then it can get crazier and more malignant. And I think that's when you find somebody who has a tendency towards psychotic thinking mm-hmm. and their way of interpreting religion, the psychosis manifests in that. They get crazy. But to get violent is really rare, you know, and this is almost like, you know, when you saw the delusional people involved in Jonestown and everybody drinking the poison. I mean, you know, we do see these cases where the religiosity is dangerous and psychotic.
How is it that, you know, we can have so many people practicing religion, some more extreme than others. And you can have masses of them that never, you know, take this to another level of insanity of well, let's suspend our belief in reality from here to there. But every once in a while you get the one, or you get the one that does go that far, and I'm guessing it's not that hard to start a cult from everything.
Yeah, apparently. Like,
apparently it wouldn't be difficult to get those sort of people in there. What's the tipping point here? Is it the religion itself, or is it something in the person's mind that then allows it to go that much further? Or, you know, can it be the slow drip of a more extreme one where it just slowly kind of, you know, you go from, oh, we're, you know, going to church and praying, and then, you know, at the end of the day, we're out there, you know, picketing, you know, a funeral of a military person.
Right. Yeah, it's a slope, I think, that people can fall into gradually. And if they're in a more extremist church or faith or group, I think there can be this brainwashing process that goes on where people who maybe didn't start off with delusional thinking over time, if that's what they're surrounded with, they become more and more delusional. And of course, the hardcore skeptic atheist would say anybody who believes in the magic God in the sky is crazy, you know. But I think cultural factors have a lot to do with to what extent it can influence people's reality and behavior.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating case and such a bizarre case. I'm sure it will continue to be just that. If this does take place, this is going to be probably one of the most interesting trials of the year.
I'll be watching. Yeah.
Without a doubt. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.